All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Whoa! Good morning, Portland!
Woo!
I gotta find a tagline, man. I don't have one. Everybody here at the Fan has their tagline to start the show. Whenever Joe's gone, we gotta help with that, man.
Yeah, you gotta come up with something. Good to see you, Rashad.
It's great to see you, bro.
Mine is "What's up, sports fans?" That's kind of just kind of came to me.
See,
a few
you got
years
your
ago.
You got your stuff though, man. You know what you're gonna say. I gotta figure this out, man. Yeah, I gotta figure this out ASAP. But this deep baritone is not Joe Fisher. Joe Fisher is out. He is on a skydiving excursion.
Is he really?
I don't think so.
I was
I
just
know.
Like, dude, no.
Knowing Joe, there's a white Zinfandel and some golf clubs involved today.
Perfect weekend for him.
Yeah, that's right up Joe's alley. You know, actually, I went and played nine holes yesterday.
Ooh, where'd you get to?
Me and my uncles went to Glendevere. It was just somewhere close. Nice. You know, honestly, I didn't.
Nothing wrong with Glendevere.
You know, it's a bunch of novice golfers.
Yeah.
So nobody's great. No, we were all equally ass.
Nothing
yesterday.
Wrong with that. It's fun that way, actually.
Yeah. You know, I was awful, like frustratingly awful yesterday, but it was great to get out with some family. It was a beautiful day yesterday, and so it was great to get out and just hit the links and shoot a 94 on a nine holes.
Better than I would have shot, bro. I'm telling you what.
I don't know, man. It was pretty bad, bro.
You haven't not seen. I don't think you've made it out to the Fan Golf Classic and seen my ass of a golf swing. I can barely hit the ball. I get nervous in front of two people. So yeah, it's pretty bad. So, I cannot get up to the tee.
So it was kind of messed up because it was just supposed to be a guys, me and my uncles and my cousin. My cousin ended up having like a terrible, terrible migraine, which he gets often. So he didn't come, but my uncles came and I noticed one of my uncles bought his lady with him. And we're like, bro, like, what are you doing? This is just supposed to be the guys. And then take it one further. His girlfriend, their family they're avid golfers. Like, they golf all the time. I guess her mom was in Sweden or something like that playing golf.
Oh, wow.
You know, just as we were out there on the links. So my uncle was getting all these golf tips from obviously a golf pro, like which club to use for what. Basically, he had his own caddy. And me and my uncle are back there sucking it up because we're just, yeah, I think I'll use my 9-iron on this one. I didn't even have a putter in my I had to rent some clubs. Don't even have a putter in one of them. And so I didn't realize I didn't have a putter because I was doing pretty well for the first like three holes. And then I was like, man, where's my putter?
Yeah, you sound like me.
Don't even have one, man. So
no, I don't have a complete set either. I have like two clubs. I was actually looking. I don't know if you've seen Costco has this. Apparently, it's like really, really like hard to get. It only pops up a certain time of the year. And as soon as it goes into the store, everybody buys it. It's like this $400 iron set from Costco. You got like your one through your 3 through 9 and then your sandwich and your pitching wedge. I think it comes with a putter, too. And they're actually really good quality for only like $400-ish. You get quite a few clubs for the money.
I'm just looking up how much clubs are, because after yesterday, yeah. I was like, I just need my own clubs again. I have to find some. Looking them up, and them joints are way too expensive.
Yeah, you usually, from what I've been told, start with used. Or if in this case, if you can find this awesome deal for Kirkland clubs, like they are actually legit. So and shout out to people trying to find any clubs out there. Go look at Costco.
Especially the tall people. Like, I mean, I'm not super tall. I'm 6'3".
I would call that super tall, especially compared to my short ass.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess compared to most people, because the clubs I was using were all so short. And that's one of those things when you have to bend down a whole bunch to make swings, it makes things
You just had surgery, so that did that like affect that at all?
Nah, actually, it was cool. I was able to run around a little bit, and I was able to, I forego the cart for a little bit and just, walked on some things to kind of feel good, but it felt good. It wasn't the surgery that made me suck. It was the fact that I'm terrible at this that made things a lot more difficult.
I'm trying to help you, Rashad. I'm trying.
I know. I'm sorry, but you can't make many excuses for me, bro. It didn't work out very well. It's cool because I'm going to go back at some point and really try to get this whole golf thing, figured out. Who knows? Maybe in a year or so, I'll be out there playing with dirt or playing with ROP. One of the good ones.
Oh God, no! I need like 2 years of lessons before I can get out there with ROP. Maybe, I don't know, Dirt and Sprague. Like, they'd be more tolerable of my terrible golf game. I don't think ROP.
I don't think
so.
Like,
Schultz, I respect you like 0% now, and I am never talking to you.
Knowing what I know about all three of those guys, I don't think.
Snobby.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
Golf
as far as
snobby.
No, you're not going to be figuring things out with dirt out there, especially when you're playing with somebody that's really, really good or somebody that's really on it and knows how to play. And they don't have time to wait for you to figure it out so you can stop shanking left or right or everything. Yeah, they don't want to do that.
That is the most
almost guaranteed
intimidating feeling too. Like as like a novice golfer, you're hanging around guys that or gals that are better than you. Like my wife, Rashad, is much better than me. She has not played a round of golf in her life, but you take her to the driving range, she will step up and she will smack the hell out of it every time. She's just got that natural ability to put the club on the ball. And
that's
I look
crazy.
Like S.
That's
and, crazy. And it is just so scary when you run into those people and you're just trying to like, oh, I'm out here having fun, and oh God, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Stop giving me the middle finger. I'm sorry.
No, exactly. And you know what? Golf is probably the only sport that's like that. Like, if you suck at basketball, you can still kind of go with your friends and play and run, and
you can hide.
You can hide out. You might not get the ball at all.
Grab a rebound or two.
Your job is to rebound and pass the ball. Like that's it. Maybe play some tough defense, but that's about it.
Be a decoy on offense.
You can be out there and play for 3 hours basketball and suck completely. Golf, though, nobody wants to play with somebody that's that bad. Mind you, I don't want to be on your team on basketball if you're really that bad, but if we got a couple goons out there that's playing with us, then we can win some games even if you suck. But golf, nah, I don't want to wait for you to walk way into the rough or way into the weeds for you to hit your ball. We're good, man. We're good. And that's what it was yesterday. A lot of shanking left and right. So,
well, good for you for getting out there. I'm proud of you. I need to get out there more. I mean, we've got beautiful September weather. Like, I think it's going to be like 90.
It's supposed to be like 90 next week. I'm thinking about
like
hope,
on Tuesday. Yeah.
I hope they're not listening, but I'm thinking about not going to work on Tuesday.
Yeah, call in sick, bro.
It's going to be a little harder to do that now that I've set that, live on air. However, if it comes to, and I don't know, I might wake up and like, hey, man, not really feeling as well today. I haven't used the cancer thing as an excuse to get out of anything yet. I figure I'm going to wait for
something pretty big
to be like, ah, sorry, my cancer's acting up today. I can't get out of here. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll be for a hot weather day at the river or something like that. So we'll see what it is, man.
There could be. God, yeah. I love how there's still time to go do that stuff. Because my wife and I were just talking about going out to like a swimming hole maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. But now that, and we didn't get to do it, now that like it's 90 still this week, like we could actually slip one in. I mean, it was Ducks bye week this for last sure. Saturday. So you're kind of, instead of watching the Ducks game, you're looking for something to do. And I did notice that like while my wife and I were out on Saturday, we saw a lot of other people that were out. It was quite a full traffic weekend. And actually that...
God, oh, man.
My wife and
freeways
I were
crazy.
Lamenting about the level of traffic. It is now, not just like the weekends, but like Friday used to start with the commute at around 2-3 o'clock, I would say. You know, you kind of get out of Portland and then start to see the road to Vancouver, the road to Wilsonville, and everywhere out to Gresham and Hillsboro. Just really start to fill up at 2-3 o'clock. Now it's like 11 on a Friday. I do not understand where all these people are coming from. And I you know what? I'm kind of starting to be on the side of there's too many of us here.
They're skipping work. People, listen, I've noticed on Friday, like you said, around 11 or 12 or something like that, freeways are crazy. I think it's people either leaving town, you know, trying to get an early start on it and trying to get out of town early, or we have a lot of people skipping work on Fridays.
So you're right about that. Is like there's like a 4-day week thing, but then hear me out on this, Rashad, and I still have not been able to find an answer to this question, because you bring up great points. You have people on Fridays, they travel more, you know, they got things to do, they got family activities that they got to prepare for and get out of town to. But you're talking also about people not going into work, right? So theoretically, that would mean the traffic out of the central work area, which is downtown Portland, would be a lot better Friday afternoon. But it seems to be worse. So I'm just wondering where all these people that stayed home and like you said, are you know, prepping in their suburban houses, Rashad, to go out to their weekend activities or vacations or whatever, how do they still all end up in downtown Portland and make it so much worse to get to Vancouver or Wilsonville on Fridays? It kills me.
I don't know, man. God. Luckily for me, I don't have to go as far as you, because you got to go all the way to Wilsonville, you know, every day to get home. I'm about 6 minutes away from here.
That's not bad.
So, I could run here. I'm not gonna, I could run here, you know, every day for the show, but I actually don't plan to. But yeah, it's going to be a great week. It's going to be beautiful outside. And I don't know about you
running this week.
I've been a lot of places, Jordan. Portland is one of the best places to have warm weather. Like, I mean, if you want to do some day drinking, you know, there are a million and a half bars or breweries to choose from. You want some good food, you can go to a brick and mortar, you can go to a food cart. You want to get on the river, or you want to get somewhere outside, go to Sandy, go to Clackamas, go to Washougal, even outside.
Go to Mount Tabor, a regular park.
Go to Mount Tabor. Like, you can really go anywhere and have a beautiful, beautiful day. So hopefully you guys are able to do that next week. We got a great day of sports planned for you, though-ish.
Yeah, we were off last week. A lot of stuff has happened in the last 2 weeks.
A lot of stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to think, what's the big stuff that's happened over the last couple of weeks?
I mean, if you want to talk locally, I would say the Pac-12 lives.
The Pac-12 lives.
The re-expansion happening.
The Beavs, you know, got beat down by Oregon, you know, last week, I think, to the chagrin of a lot of Ducks fans, you know.
But then turned right back around and beat Purdue down.
And then beat the brakes off of Purdue.
So nice to
yesterday.
See.
So they should
be in the Big Ten, right? That automatically puts Oregon State in the Big Ten?
I mean, well, you beat them. I mean, why? So I don't see why not, but probably not. So Oregon State's going to continue on the path they're on. They still have an amazing chance to run the table, you know, after the Oregon loss and do something. Yeah. And potentially, I'm not going to say make a playoff, but we'll see. You know, one loss Oregon State team. Who knows? That might be something that's in the card for them. I don't think so. But if there are a bunch of two-loss teams out there, which in the Big Ten is incredibly plausible, we'll see. But we got a pretty good show for you, man. Bryce Young, is he done in the NFL? Or at least with the Panthers? You know, we'll talk about that. Cowboys, Seahawks, two teams that have a lot of love here in Portland. But both of them are trying to figure out which way is up right now. At least the Seahawks got a big W last week. Can't say the same for the Cowboys. We got Who Do You Love at 9:45. So, you know, we're going to go through some spreads and see what's what today. But there's something I want to start with today. I want to start with college. And I want to start with one player in particular. and that is the most exciting player in college football. We'll talk about him when we come back right here. It's Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is Return of the Max, the Max being Rashad Taylor and Jordan Schultz on the Schultzy and Schott edition of Football Sunday. We are in the building with you, man.
The only one.
It's kind of, it used to be really creepy in the last building because it'd be really dark and stuff like that. So if we came in at like 8 in the morning or something like that,
yeah,
it was like haunted house type creepy. So we got all these windows and stuff here. It actually looks good. So
yeah, got a shower in the bathroom. We could live here if we wanted.
If you really want to just camp out here, like you got a kitchen and everything, like you'd be okay for a few days. So, and somebody's going to be okay for the rest of the week and potentially the rest of his life is, in my opinion, and in the opinion of most people, if it's not, then I don't know what rock you've been living under. But in my opinion, the most exciting player in college football, arguably the most exciting player we've seen in college football in a really long time, and that's one Travis Hunter. What else can we say about this kid? He was considered the best player in football when he was at Jackson State, when he was going there. It was a huge get for Jackson State to get Travis Hunter. And everybody was like, oh, man, you know, it's HBCU, Jackson State. Like, you know, he's going to do well there, but is he going to do well here, you know, in D1 play?
Yes.
Here's a guy who is the best receiver on his team, arguably the best receiver in the country, and then turns around and is arguably one of the best DBs, second or third best DB in the country. Here's a dude that had 130 yards yesterday, 18 yards per catch. There is nothing he couldn't do. And then turned around and had a forced fumble to win the game.
Yeah, I cannot believe that. They would not have won.
And what realistic situation would your best receiver cause a forced fumble to win a game?
When you've got Deion Sanders on your roster. Oh, wait, no, he's the coach. Okay, so I kind of see what we're getting at here.
Here's the best player on really the most polarizing team in college football. You either love what Deion is doing in Colorado or you absolutely hate it. There's no in between with what's going on in Colorado. I've seen a lot of hate for Warren Sapp all of a sudden. Warren Sapp, who's been one of those guys that people, again, polarizing guy, you know, for a lot of folks. But as he's, you know, gotten out of his playing career, more people started liking Warren Sapp. Now it's kind of back to, don't really like Warren Sapp. He's talking too much.
Anybody hanging around that program kind of seems to like, remember Terrell Owens was doing like the wide receiver warmups, I think, when they were playing Oregon and got the hell beat out of them last year. And people were wondering what the heck's going on with that. Like, I think just kind of, you know, kind of seeing these names hanging around, not really with an official title, it doesn't like sit the right way. It's not necessarily like a true coach. It's just like, hey, bringing my buddy in. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming that fans in Colorado love that, but fans outside, maybe we're just jealous. Maybe it's like people making fun of Oregon because they don't have the money.
Absolutely.
And just calling everybody, you know, at Oregon, oh, Uncle Phil honks. Like, well, yeah, you wish that you were that too. So maybe that's the case.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of people that with a lot of teams, great teams, that wish they had the cachet that a prime time has. That wishes they could move and say the things that primetime does. Here's a guy that came into the locker room and was like, we're coming, so y'all might want to get in the transfer portal because
I'm bringing Louis.
This whole losing thing, you know, is over. And more than anything, what it's done, whether they won or lost, people have watched. You want to see Colorado, it's the Floyd Mayweather effect. You want to see Floyd dominate or you want to see Floyd get his ass whooped. It's one of the two. And that's what it is with Colorado. And you can hate almost everybody, everything about Colorado, right? Shador can be a little irritating. The hold my watch up, hold my wrist up, that's a little irritating. Hearing that Shiloh is, you know, slapping teammates and you know, a little irritating. Travis Hunter is the one player that we watch Colorado and go, yeah, he's cold. I love him. Yeah. I've yet to hear anybody say, I can't stand Travis Hunter. Here's the best player in college football that plays most of the snaps on offense and then turns around and doesn't just play two or three snaps on defense. Most of the snaps on defense. Iron Man, almost. And is the best player on both sides of the ball.
We're talking like 120 to 150 plays in a game.
When was the last time we saw a player be great on both sides of the ball? I'm trying to think. In my lifetime, I don't know if I've seen it in college football.
Not for a while. I mean, like the last example, and this wasn't even both sides, it's more so like offensive, you know, guys that play multiple positions, like a Slash, Cordell Stewart back in the
right.
day. Like there's just, yeah, there's this like serviceable, like, you know, talent if you're athletic enough to move between the running back and the wide receiver position, maybe play quarterback if you have a little bit of an arm. But I don't think we've seen really any kind of versatility like that since Slash.
No.
If I'm forgetting anybody here on the Vancouver Ford text line, please let me know. And by the way, we are talking about Colorado's 38-31 victory over
Baylor.
Comeback win.
The biggest game of the weekend for a lot of people, just definitely the most exciting game. There were times where Colorado didn't look like they were able to move the ball much, and then they scored consistently in each quarter. But that last pass from Shador Sanders, and I think he's somebody that's also very polarizing. You know, you either love Shador or you hate him. You think he's super, super dope, or you think he's annoying as hell. But that pass that he made, you know, about to get hit in the rain, that's another thing people don't really talk about, that in the rain, dropping, or not dropping back, but scrambling, just about to get hit, throws a beautiful ball between what looked like three Colorado defenders.
It looked like an NCAA 25 pass.
Yeah.
Like
in the video. Oh, definitely not, because guess what? An NCAA 25, that gets picked every single time. I know this because I've been trying to do that consistently, and it has not worked.
Yeah, that's fair. It's happened
to me too. So there's been a lot of rage quitting with, you know, the number of interceptions that are thrown.
But
so Shador.
I hear you. Shador has a bullet of an arm.
And he had to throw it. You know, he didn't have a choice. Time is running out. I can't take the sack. And LeJounte, last name?
LaJonte Webster.
LaJonte Webster.
Or Wester, excuse
Wester,
me.
Wester, excuse me.
Kid that caught the touchdown at
the last
second.
Made the catch of his life. Made the what probably will be considered the catch of the year to put that game into overtime. And then all of a sudden, man, you saw what happened at the end. Travis Hunter was able to come through for his team. So, again, I'm struggling because even with Slash, those were all offensive snaps that he was taking for the most part. You know, punting the ball at points or, you know, being a running back, lining up at receiver. Like, those are things that an offensive player, you know, could do. I think Michael Vick could have lined up at receiver a couple times and been pretty good. But for a player to be your best corner and then turn around to be your best receiver and then play 80% of the snaps on both sides of the ball and to be that dominant and to have that motor, if you're asking me, I think he's the number one pick in the draft.
Like, yeah, over a quarterback.
Where do you want to put him? Like, if you got holes on your offense, you know, I've got a hole at receiver. We've got holes at corner. Or you got Travis Hunter right there that you can put wherever. Like, Shador, it's probably going to be the number one pick. Shador is a hell of an athlete and has a cannon on him. It would make sense. He's a quarterback. Most teams need quarterbacks before they need corners. It makes sense, right? However, I think Travis Hunter has kind of, at this point, submitted himself as the best player in college football.
Oh, hands down. To try to answer your question, though, I did check in with Dr. Google about other two-way players in college football the last few years, and there have been a couple, I would say, more recent examples in the last 10 years. Adoree Jackson at USC, Jabril Peppers at Michigan. Jackson actually started off winning a Pac-12 Defensive Freshman of the Year, returned punts and kicks in his first season as well. So he did touch the ball offensively, but then sophomore year actually basically started catching the ball on offense. Totally 27 catches, 4 to 14 yards, 2 touchdowns. He returned 2 punts for touchdowns. Also had an INT for a pick 6. So at that point, I mean, he basically, even while playing offense, still was one of the best defensive players in the league, if not the entire college football landscape. Won Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year and the Jim Thorpe Award that year, Jabril Peppers. Same thing, basically, a 5-star recruit, top-ranked athlete recruit in the 2014 class. Got injured his freshman year, but played almost 1,000 snaps, most of those on defense in his sophomore season. And then after playing defense, it was really his junior season or his third year in college football where he started to go onto the offensive side of the ball as well. But that was more so returning kicks, spent a little time. So these examples are few and far between. Miles Jack from UCLA.
Miles Jack was very good.
Yeah. He was a running back, but also a defensive freshman of the year. Excuse me. He earned Pac-12 offensive and defensive freshman of the year in the same season. 76 tackles that year, the highest total ever recorded by a UCLA true freshman. Played running back
and
linebacker.
That's
crazy. So Miles Jackson.
Jack, when he was at UCLA, he was really a monster.
Oh yeah,
really a monster. But it definitely helps for Travis Hunter to have Deion as your coach, right? To play for Colorado, to have that microscope. I don't know if Miles Jack ever had that microscope on him every single week. I don't know if Miles Jack's UCLA team was like the team that you went and played with on college football, you know, just to get an easy win.
Well, I don't think any other coach would allow Travis Hunter to play as many snaps as he does. Like, no other in the 130 in FBS. None. Deion's the only one.
Yeah, Deion's ballsy. You know,
yeah, he is.
And so he's going to
put it.
Yeah, and he is. And, you know, last year they lost Travis Hunter. And I think that really, that hurt that Buffalo's team. You know, they obviously weren't the same team without him. And you're seeing what the Travis Hunter effect is. And for fans, you may not like Colorado. I mean, I don't love Colorado, you know, especially since they're competing against, you know, the local teams for supremacy up top. But
yeah,
man, you've got to love and really appreciate. And I think that's the main thing. As a sports fan, I appreciate these rare commodities that we have sometimes in sports. You have to appreciate a LeBron James and what he does out there. You may not like him, but when he's gone, you're going to see how different the game, yep, you know, actually is. You know, I appreciate what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's something that you have to appreciate what you saw from Tom Brady or Michael Jordan. It's like, you're not probably won't see something like that again. You'll see other, you know, iterations of it, like a Magic Johnson. You're not going to see a 6'9 point guard that can dominate like that, you know, anymore. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We haven't seen one since then, you know? And so I think Travis Hunter is one of those guys I look at almost like the aura of Reggie Bush. Like, there's really nothing that you can do about him. You just kind of got to hope that he gets hurt, and knock on wood, because nobody does that. But you got to hope that he just has a bad game and doesn't perform the way, you know, that he has been performing. So, man, Travis Hunter and the Colorado Buffaloes had a great win yesterday in overtime. And most of which is because of Travis Hunter's 130 yards receiving and forced fumble to end the game. That's impressive. Again, you got it. You can hate all you want to, but you got to respect
it. He's a cheat code. He is a literal cheat code.
You got to respect it. So, okay. Coming up next, man. Cowboys.
Oh, no. Let's go Bryce Young. Do you want to talk Bryce Young next hour? Or do you want to talk Cowboys this hour? How do you want to do this?
Okay, then. Well, we're going to do that. But first, Jordan has sports. You make my earthquake. It's a good song. I love this record, man. Man, 9:35, Sunday, September 22nd. Man, this month is just flying by.
This whole year. Getting older.
This whole year. It really is. It feels like, you know, years feel like they're only about 6 months as opposed to the full 12, because it doesn't seem like it's been a full year of anything. It doesn't seem like we've been here for, what, like 2 years, 2.5 years?
It's true. Fun fact, you know why that is?
Why?
Because your life, days in your life at this point, in our 30s to 40s as we get older, are actually perceived shorter because of the feeling that when we're a kid, like say your life, look at it from 0 to 10. Those days in those years are your entire life to that point. You have lived only 10 years, you know, and so those days feel like such a longer existence to you at that age because you haven't been around as long. And now that we're into our 30s, we're into our 40s and up, the days feel shorter because there are more of them. And when you're younger, there are just less days to feel. So it is an actual, like, perception that is so accurate because we get older and there are just more days that we have experienced life of.
Well, look at Dr. Schultz over here. I love it, man.
It's a weird... I remember getting, like, into a deep wormhole on the internet about that one time, and I was like, oh, that's kind of fascinating.
Well, speaking of short days, or somebody's days are numbered in Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Bryce Young. Oh, Bryce Young.
You know what?
I feel bad for Bryce Young.
We need the bells for this.
Yeah, I don't feel as bad when I hear the bells.
Right?
But... oh, man, I feel your heart goes out to the young man, because Bryce Young in his first couple starts this year has not been great. No. Total of 3 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, a passer rating in this first game of 32.8. And then he did better the second game because he was 57.2. But...
well, better than the QBR that he had in his first overall season of 34.1.
No, and it's bad. And then, to make matters worse, you're getting benched. And the guy you're getting benched for isn't like a world beater. You know, there was a time they were considered a really good quarterback, but that was like for 1 or 2 years. But you're being benched for the Red Rocket. Andy Dalton is now going to take snaps this week as the Panthers visit the Raiders at 1:05 today. Hey, man, like, I like Bryce Young. I think we all kind of like Bryce Young. You know, he's somebody that we've watched since college. You know, we watched him at Alabama. I think a lot of us kind of knew that if you look at any Bama quarterback, like, which of them have been great? Honestly, I think Jalen Hurts might be the only one that's been great, and even he's been a little up and down for a lot of his career. People are really down on Jalen Hurts. Bryce Young, though, has 245 yards through his first 2 games. Again, 3 interceptions, a QBR of 9.4. QBR of 9.4.
Is it
safe to say that maybe Bryce Young just isn't an NFL quarterback?
I mean, I think that's more than safe to say. There are even some national pundits. I give credit to some that are admitting, Like Dan Orlovsky said on ESPN this week, I was very wrong on Bryce Young. Nice to hear that out of his lips. But then others kind of turn it around. I love Kurt Warner, one of my favorite players growing up, but hearing him say on ESPN, well, he hopes that Bryce Young can learn and grow. And of course, I hope that for him too. But in the context of him playing in the NFL, dude's not tall enough. That there literally is no example other than Michael Vick of a short guy like Bryce Young with that same play style succeeding in the NFL, other than like the ability to run, like being Michael Vick's like huge, huge separator from everybody else. Like, yeah, Russell Wilson's had success in the league. Drew Brees has had success in the league. Fran Tarkenton has had success in the league. Then maybe Kyler Murray, who hasn't appeared in a Super Bowl yet, sort of had some success in the league, right? I'm talking about 6 foot guys down to like 5'10 guys. And I think I'm leaving out one. Doug Flutie. That's the other one I'm leaving out. So there's literally a handful. We're talking 5, 6, 7 guys ever in the history of the NFL that have ever succeeded at 6 foot and under. There you go. Okay, so maybe I thought I said him. Maybe I did.
I don't know.
So I apologize. But yeah, Drew Brees is on that list as well because he is supposedly 6 foot. But yeah, but my point is the list of quarterbacks that are short and that have succeeded is very, very tiny. And Michael Vick, the I cannot believe that some people maybe even thought that there was sort of a comparison to Bryce Young. Bryce Young cannot run like Michael Vick could. Obviously, he's the best running quarterback in the history of the NFL. And if people looked at Bryce Young's Alabama tape and thought, well, you know, he's going to succeed with mediocre receivers. He's going to be the elevator of people's games in the NFL. I do not know what you are thinking when you see that. Rashad, I watched the 11-on-11 of his first 2 weeks. And it looked bad. Guy can't check down. Guy can't make his first read. Now, I will say that some of that's on the offensive line.
I was going to say we got to give a lot of blame to Carolina because they have not built a great team.
But I also give blame because you see this in the 11-on-11. He's missing open receivers. He's missing a lane where he actually could make a cut and gain 4, 5, 6 yards on a little quarterback draw or a run instead of trying to force it into double coverage. There are many mistakes, and I don't know if it's because he doesn't have time, you know, even to look at his first read, or if he's just so frazzled, so nervous, still trying to learn an NFL offense, because that's all complex. But the dude is too in his head, and if he's already short and having to, like, you saw, I think, week one, it was kind of like a hop jump over the line to try to throw one of his passes. I mean, if you're on already struggling mentally and then don't have the physical ability to even see over the offensive line, how does anybody believe you can succeed in the NFL?
No, yeah, I think those are all, you know, valid points. Like I said, this is the downside of being the number one pick of any sport, you know, unfortunately, with the exception of basketball, because one player in basketball can change the fortunes of your franchise.
One player can also hide. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like, you know, we were talking about in golf.
Bryce Young went to the worst team in football. Carolina is still, they haven't been the same since the year after they went to the Super Bowl. After that, like, they've flatlined, and they haven't been able to figure out which way is up for the longest time. So I don't want to put all the blame on Bryce Young. Again, offensive line, there's a lot of holes there. So, you know, at times he's running for his life or hoping he doesn't get sacked. But I don't know. I feel like he can still be a good quarterback. Just I don't know if it's going to be in Carolina. I think there are too many what-ifs in Carolina for him to be successful. And it's unfortunate this young man's going to wash out of the league before we really get a chance to see how good, you know, he could potentially be. I think we all looked at Bryce Young and saw that, oh, okay, this kid can play. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, you were drafted number one overall because of that.
Yeah.
And so you're in this. We're looking at Caleb Williams right now going, kid doesn't have it. Doesn't look like he's, you know, like.
Those picks looked pretty bad last
they
week.
They did. But, again, what team does he play for?
The Chicago Bears. Da Bears.
When was the last time the Bears were good? Ish.
With Rex Grossman? Good.
There you go. You know, so it's been a long time. So both of these guys went to franchises that have a history of losing. And then 1 year in between there to where they just go from worst to first and end up in the Super Bowl. Right?
So, but to the Panthers' credit, they added Deontay Johnson, you know, via free agency, and then Xavier Leggett in the draft. Like, dudes are good wide receivers, and I've already seen many articles this week talking about Andy Dalton, since he has the ability to complete the ball to his receivers, seeing the Panthers' offense kind of stepping up this week. I don't understand, other than him being too short, why Bryce couldn't necessarily hook up with those receivers. And yeah, back to what I was saying, it's either he's too short or he just did not have the space in his head to even like see those receivers open, because there were quite a few misses on Bryce Young's end, and not all of them were because of the offensive line. Some of them were just bad decision making. So I'm not on the side that you're on, Rashad. I'm not sure he's going to be a successful NFL quarterback. I was saying before the draft last year that anybody else should have gone first. C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. I didn't know what C.J. Stroud looked like yet. And the Panthers are absolutely eating their own booty because they didn't pick C.J. Stroud. Whatever you wanted to hear from,
yeah,
like,
you're kicking yourself for that one.
Yeah, Dave Tepper and Frank Reich and that argument. Like, moving on from that, it does seem like Dave Canales is like somebody that might be willing to stick up to Dave Tepper as opposed to just toe the company line. I don't know, but this is a big decision that he made. It's a ballsy decision that he made.
This is a decision to get your GM fired. You know, yeah. I mean, your number one pick is being benched in week two of his second year, or week three of his second year, for Andy Dalton. So it doesn't fare well for Bryce Young. So Bryce Young Bryce Young on the bench holding the clipboard will be number two behind Andy Dalton today as the Panthers visit the Raiders at 105 on CBS.
Quick report this week came out from Carolina that said it could be a temporary benching for Bryce Young.
Yeah.
We might see like a Zach Wilson situation.
Andy Dalton
gets one pick
and he's back on the bench. So we'll see what it is. So.
But Zach Wilson didn't succeed when they gave him the second chance either, and when he had to step in for Aaron Rodgers, he sucked.
Yeah, Zach Wilson is in the same boat.
Yeah,
he's gonna be a forever clipboard holder. That's what he's gonna be. Okay, coming up next, man, we're gonna make our picks, man. Who do you love? Let's get some spreads out here. How about it? Coming up next, right here, Football Sunday on the Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
My favorite song, my favorite segment.
This is
Who Do You Love, man. You know, we're going to go through some of the games, going to go through some spreads, you know, some over-unders, and, you know, try to win some fake money day or real money, depending on, you know, what it is. So
I've been terrible this season.
So you know what? I'm gonna let you start. I don't want to be a buzzkill, man. Jordan, go ahead and you can start with the first game.
All right, I appreciate you, man. I'm gonna go right here at home in the Pacific Northwest with the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Miami Dolphins. Seattle is a 4-point favorite with backup Skylar Thompson coming in to lead Miami, and actually a little bit of coaching familiarity there. The Seattle Seahawks new head coach and Mike McDonald has actually worked with Dolphins D coordinator Anthony Weaver. They spent two seasons together working on the Ravens staff. Weaver was an assistant head coach and the defensive line coach under McDonald as the D coordinator. And Baltimore's D, they ranked third in scoring defense in 2022 and first in 2023. So a defensive mindset basically coming into today's game. However, I do see the Seahawks offense winning out, even without Kenneth Walker. Zach Charbonnet has been nails all season in their first two games. See him running for a lot again today, especially since Miami is going to be leaning hard on the blitz and trying to get Geno out of his element. But once again, man, he's looked good too to DK Metcalf. So I think with the Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf connections available, and then Noah Fant as well at tight end, like, Seattle's just been great on offense. I see them easily covering the 4 against Miami today.
Okay. So I am going to go with my New Orleans Saints, my Derek Carr, right?
Like that one.
Against the Philadelphia Eagles as they host the Eagles today. New Orleans is a 2.5-point favorite. I don't think 2.5 is enough. This Eagles team is still trying to figure it out. And right now this New Orleans team is for arguably the biggest surprise through 2 weeks of football, and Derek Carr and the way that they're playing, Derek Carr being fine last week for his Michael Jackson hee-hee celebration. But the spread is 2.5. I think New Orleans is going to win by a little more than 2.5.
Next, I'm going to Houston. Or no, excuse me, to Minnesota, where the Houston Texans are taking on the Minnesota Vikings coming up in just a few minutes. Minnesota 2-0, surprisingly, with Sam Darnold under center. And Minnesota's defense, actually, one of the better ones in the NFL as well. And also a very high blitz rate. I believe they blitz almost as much as the first-place team in the NFL at 36% of the time. So they give a lot of pressure to their quarterback on the opposing team, but C.J. Stroud is just too good, and the spread only being at 2, I see the Texans winning this by a field goal. I think the Vikings do take their first loss today, even with Sam Darnold playing well with Jay Jeff and crew over there.
Okay, I'm going to move over to Indianapolis, hosting the Chicago Bears today. The Bears have been inept so far. Caleb Williams doesn't exactly look like the number one pick that we all thought he would be, but give him some time. He's only been in the league for all of 2 weeks, and so hopefully they can turn things around. But the spread is 2 points, 2 point favorites for the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have been kind of scraping by in their last couple of games, and so it wouldn't shock me if today was the day that Caleb Williams was actually able to able to do some scoring. The over under is 43.5, and I'm taking the under.
43.5 on the under. I kind of like that. Might throw that in a parlay or something,
right, brother?
That's a good one. All right, my final pick going to be another spread. Well, technically not, because the spread is 1 point. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens straight up on the road to beat the Dallas Cowboys today. Here's why. Dallas coming off of that terrible performance against the New Orleans Saints, their defense just looks anemic. Don't really know what's going on besides Micah Parsons. They can't seem to get it together. And yeah, despite everybody making money on the offensive side with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott getting their cash before the regular season, not really translating at least to wins. CeeDee's had 9 receptions, 150 yards, and a tutty so far, so pretty normal numbers for him. But yeah, Dallas looks terrible. I believe Baltimore, who's 0-2, desperately needs a get-right game. And I think after that week one disappointment of Likely's toe basically being the difference between the win or not, I feel like Baltimore really is just foaming at the mouth, and they're looking at Dallas with a target on their back. So I say Baltimore straight up to win that game this afternoon in Dallas.
Both teams really, really need a get-right game.
Yes,
really
they
need
do.
To get this thing going. My last one is going to be San Francisco visiting the Rams. San Francisco is a 6.5-point favorite. That seems about right, just considering how good of a team San Fran is. They also are trying to bounce back. You know, big loss against the Jets last week, so it wouldn't shock me if they came out in L.A. and just put on a crazy show against the Rams.
Yeah, I actually, I was looking at that pick and kind of going the opposite way. I wonder how Brock Purdy is going to do, basically. Kind of, he's been able to lean on all these weapons in Ayuk and McCaffrey, Kittle, whenever they're healthy, but now you got two of those guys down, you know, in McCaffrey and Kittle. I feel like at this point, Shanahan might revert. I heard this on ESPN earlier this week, and it was a great point, I think, by Mina Kimes, saying that Shanahan was probably going to revert back to having to go, like, more play action, you know, to really try to figure out. Because if you see play actions in a game, if you see motions, what those are is identifiers for the offense. They are trying to identify either the blitzer or a one-on-one coverage that they can expose, or something that, like, they've got, like, a slant that's going to be open, you know, in a particular scene. That's literally the purpose of that process for the offense. And you've kind of been able to, like, just trick the defense. San Francisco has had so many weapons that you can't really key in on one. Now San Francisco's going to have to turn around, use a little bit more play action. Kyle Shanahan going to have to fool the defense maybe a little bit again without all these weapons, Rashad.
No, it's going to be a huge adjustment for Shanahan to try to figure out how to use all these weapons that they have in a more productive way. I feel like that with this team, there's no reason they should even have a loss on their record, you know, ever. San Francisco should have 3 losses a year, you know, on their record, because they are that good. And of course, there'll be some slip ups in between there. So they just kind of got to figure it out, man. So,
but like, would Bryce Young succeed with their offense healthy? I think he might have a little bit more success.
Yeah, he would. Absolutely.
And I guess that's the argument against Brock Purdy. And we will truly see today is a great example, you know, what Brock Purdy can do with a couple of toes kind of lopped off from his foot, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kid's morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.